What's going on, people, and welcome to the Blockchain Enterprises podcast. The aim of our podcast is to show you how anyone can start a business, find their dream job, or develop a revenue stream in the emerging blockchain industry. Most, if not all of our guests, started with just an idea, a few hundred dollars, and a Twitter account. Before we meet today's guest, here's a quick word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you in assistance with our sponsors, Crypto.com and Crypto Jobs Daily. Crypto.com is a well-established platform and their mobile app offers the following features. A built-in exchange that lets you buy and sell 7 fiat and over 50 cryptocurrencies. A tiered debit card that allows users to earn crypto cash back. And so much more, including their free-for-free promotion. Our second sponsor is Crypto Jobs Daily, the number one place to find work in the blockchain industry. Users can connect with companies hiring in a few clicks and find their dream job today. For more information about both projects, you can click on the link in the description below. Our final sponsor is the Kira Project. Kira is a trustless DeFi network that provides access to the market for any digital token in their cross-chain ecosystem and allows you to utilize 100% of your working capital without locking it up. With Kira, you can stake any fungible or non-fungible token to secure the network and claim the rewards. For more information, you can visit their website at interchain.exchange. Yo, what's going on, people, and welcome back to the Blockchain Enterprises podcast. Today we're joined by Frederick from the June Analytics Project. Thank you very much for joining us. How are you, Frederick?
Hey, I'm very good, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. I'm really excited to hear about your platform today. But before we jump into that and talk about what you guys have been building, do you want to tell us a little bit about your background and how you got involved in crypto?
For sure. So I'm a Norwegian, along with my co-founder. So coming from the far north, I've always been interested in technology, but my background is in economics. So I always kind of curious and looking at different technologies. And then when I first heard about Bitcoin in 2015 on a podcast called Econ Talk, which is a great resource where you really get to know the subjects well and the host is great. So After hearing a couple of Bitcoin podcasts back then, I got really fascinated and sucked into the rabbit hole. So since then, I've spent a lot of time digging into the subject, initially Bitcoin and then Ethereum, and then I got to work on it a little bit in a big company, my former employer, and that's where I met my co-founder as well. So, I've really just been intrigued by this fascinating intersection of technology and economics, and also think that I'm 29 years old, so I experienced the internet revolution as a sort of a kid, but not professionally, to put it that way. So I'm super excited about being sort of in the midst of it all now that this this internet money thing is happening. So I think it's very cool to be able to think about the implications for society, the sort of business implications, and all these things coming together as the blockchain and crypto space is taking shape.
Fantastic. I mean, it sounds like a very interesting journey. Which leads on to the next question. So as we said in the intro, you're the founder of June Analytics. For anyone who doesn't know the website, you can check it out at www.juneanalytics.com. I would highly recommend it. There's a load of data on there. But for the people who don't know about it, do you want to tell us how this came about? So you mentioned your co-founder, and also do you want to tell us a little bit about what you guys do?
Sure. So essentially what happened was that my co-founder and I were working in at this big media, like online marketplaces company. And we were fortunate enough to actually work on blockchain and mostly Ethereum projects within that company. Got some support from like fairly senior folks. But we also realized fairly quickly after doing proof of concepts and working with the different parts of the organizations that crypto technology or like blockchains it's a very young technology and it's a huge leap for like established company with a lot of users, like millions of users, to put crypto products in the hands of their users. So we pretty quickly realized that if we really want to take a bet on this this space, we would need to found something ourselves and really go all in besides like our current employer. So that's when we started more actively like talking about what could be done. And with our backgrounds, I've done some like startup data gigs before, and my co-founder was a data scientist at the time. We pretty quickly landed in like the realm of data. Mm-hmm. I guess I can talk you through how we got to the product we did. So initially the idea was more to like create some dashboards ourselves and give that to customers. And then after a while, we realized that the open nature of this data means that you can actually build something more powerful and interesting. And that is just like enabling anyone to work with this data. So essentially what Dune is today is an open tool and platform for creating analysis on clean, human-readable smart contract data. So you can query it with SQL, which is a easy programming language a lot of people know, and then you can get results, and then you can turn those results into nice visual charts and graphs. And then you can compile those into dashboards, and everything is like very open-ended, so you can do pretty amazing things with that tooling. And then it's an open destination, so anyone can see what other people are doing, fork their queries, and collaborate, which we think is super exciting and really unique in the crypto space, where you can have something like this in an open manner, as opposed to more like traditional web analytics, which is very much contained within each company.
Yep, I agree. And again, you know, I would definitely recommend to our listeners to check out the platform. I'm just looking at it now. And as you touched on there, I think the thing I really like about this is you've been able to provide this data. And once you put this data out there and you allow people to use it in their own manner, it adds such a value in itself. In effect, it really keeps in sync with the decentralized nature of crypto. The idea is, as long as data is available, people can share it, they can do what they want, they can build their own platforms, the dashboards, sorry. Other users can then check those dashboards to see if there's anything interesting that's been built. So I'm really happy to see the progression of your project from, like you mentioned, the original idea to where it is now. In terms of that process, we all know that building a successful blockchain-based project is tough. What sort of challenges have you faced along the way from when you first came up with the idea to where you are now?
Yeah, okay, quite a few, I would say. It's definitely like both the most amazing and a really hard space to be in, I think. So you have a lot of community engagement. You have a pretty technical audience, which can be great for a lot of products like ours. So we have all these great things, but obviously also the space is pretty small. So I think along the way, it's been pretty hard for us with investors, for instance, because like the market size. So you really need to focus on like crypto-oriented investors, because most other like technology investors will say that this market is very small and it's like not can't get big enough for them to invest and stuff like that. So it's been pretty challenging, especially initially, to get funding. Yeah, we actually spent like almost a year without salary, which was pretty brutal, to be honest. But that also gave us, made us do pretty hard decisions about the product, about what we wanted to focus on. So I think we definitely came out stronger, but it was definitely brutal at times. And I think back when we started 2 years ago, it was also less clear that sort of the application layer, what kind of traction would happen there. I think it's now more clear that things are very interesting. Things are actually being built on Ethereum. But I think it's still like an uphill battle for the space in general to prove its importance and impact on a broader scale beyond the core audience. So yeah, it's definitely not like this huge market that you can just like go and take, right? You need to both sort of win the market, but also grow the market.
I think that's really interesting insight. And again, for anyone listening out there who wants to know what it's like building a project, as Frederick mentioned, you can often go long periods of time without actually receiving any income, without any salary. And if it's heightened in a bear market condition as well, sometimes it can feel really difficult. But, you know, I think the advice and the inspiration we can take from a platform like yourselves would be, as long as you keep going and you're able to see those difficult periods through, you can then come out of the other side and kind of be a lot more stronger for it.
Absolutely.
Just on that note, Frederick, I mean, we talked about a little bit, a few of the challenges you faced. On a more positive note, like when you think about the platform and the journey you guys have been on, what's something that makes you really proud during this journey?
So I'm pretty proud of what we've achieved as a two-man team. Mm-hmm. So we're still only me and my co-founder. That is changing these days. But I think we've come a long way. We have thousands of users, like a lot of people across the space in various roles, use Dune very actively. And it's a free tool that a lot of people leverage. So I think we're pretty proud on the scale we're like serving users on as a two-man shop, and that's pretty incredible to see what you can actually achieve with small resources. And we started Dune coming off like after the 2017 boom, and obviously there's many projects that had like a ton of resources and huge teams and with limited traction. So we're pretty proud of the fact that we've not spent that much money and created something that's pretty significant, I think. So that's definitely something we're pretty proud of.
Fantastic. And it should definitely be something to be proud of. I mean, when you kind of look at the platform now from when you kind of first came up with the idea, I bet you guys must just think, wow, you know, this has all been worth it, the last couple of years' hard work.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been great to see it grow, and I think obviously we're just getting started, but important to take a pause and appreciate your achievements sometimes as well.
Most definitely. And just to touch on, you mentioned that the platform's free, right? So anyone who wants to come on, set up a dashboard, start using the tools for analysis.
Yeah, 100%. So it's all open and free, and then there are some paid features if you want some extra stuff, but it's all open for anyone to go and utilize and enjoy.
Fantastic. So again, you know, guys, if you're listening, check it out. It's well worth adding to your arsenal in terms of research and analysis. We talked a little bit about the work involved, and that this industry is 24/7 and never stops. What does a typical working day or week look like for you?
Yeah, no, I think you're definitely right. It's quite intense, especially the fact that like you basically do a lot of Telegram and Twitter and these very interactive and very instant platforms, as opposed to other industries that essentially runs on on emails, which can like allows you to use a few days to respond, while when you get DMs, it feels like you should respond pretty instantly. And people are across all kinds of time zones. So yeah, I think I try to have sort of a standardish working day type of setup, but so we work from home, both me and my co-founder, try to go for a run or do some physical activity at least a good few days a week, and also just seeing friends outside of crypto fairly frequently, I think helps, because it's an industry you get like very much sucked into, and I think it cut both ways. So in one sense, it's amazing how quickly you can actually reach someone and build an integration or collaborate. So in that sense, the whole space is very well set up, and it's amazing how much you can achieve with like other organizations or people in a very short amount of time. But on the other hand, it's definitely important to be able to zone out and not check and reply to all the different platforms, and just allow your head to be elsewhere for at least a few hours. But yeah, it's definitely pretty intense and around the clock. You got to admit that. Yeah.
It is, and I think you give some really good points there in terms of taking some time out. Although sometimes it can be overwhelming, it's always important to remember that this is work and it should always be treated like a job. So you have your personal life and your work life, and you know, being able to kind of keep a balance between the two is really important in this industry. We touched a few times on the team, so it's you and your co-founder. In terms of growing the team, we noticed that you've got a couple of job vacancies available, which we'll talk about in a short while, but what sort of qualities do you look for in potential employees or someone who wants to join the team?
Yeah, so I think like fundamental, you don't necessarily need understanding, but a fundamental faith in crypto is extremely important. Obviously, we're sort of betting on and believing that this industry is going to be extremely important, and that there's a lot of valuable stuff that will come out of Ethereum and blockchains in general. So I think that at least interest and understanding or understanding of like how it works, or at least that there's a great potential here, I think is very important. And then I think what might be a little bit underappreciated in crypto that we think a lot about is like building a great product, and not everything will be like low level primitive building blocks, but we really think about building like a super delightful product experience where both technical people and non-technical people can go. So I think having sort of the deep technical understanding, but also really enjoying building something that's useful and beautiful, is something we think is very important when people join Dune and have a little bit of a product mindset in a very technically oriented industry. And especially us, that's like a data company, a lot of people think that we're like very low level, but we do think a lot about our interface and really look for and cherish like great front end experience and things like that, to build out a product that can have like huge reach and be very intuitive and nice to approach.
Fantastic, which leads us nicely onto the next question. We noticed you've got a couple of vacancies available at the moment for a front end and back end developer. Anyone listening to the podcast interested in applying for those roles, how would they go about doing so?
Yeah, so we have a careers page at careers.duneanalytics.com, which you can also find from just our landing page at duneanalytics.com. So it's really about just going in there. We kind of expect people to have tried the product a little bit before they apply. A lot of people are super excited about Dune, so we of course want our potential future employees to be that as well. And beyond that, it's not too complicated. As I touched upon a little bit, I think we're really excited to get some great front-end people into the team. And this is our first round of hiring. So I think we've come a long way. Mm-hmm. As a small team, we're now doing like 4-ish hires. And I think that's like a tremendous opportunity to come into a product and business that's actually found pretty much a product market fit, but still you can be one of the very first employees and really take ownership and set the direction for where we go from here. So I think truly that we were a great opportunity to work in crypto, but build a great product and being super early onto the team.
I 100% agree. So again, you know, it's a great opportunity for anyone out there, especially if you are like a developer who's really interested in Ethereum as well. You know, this is a great opportunity to join a company just kind of growing from the, you know, early kind of roots and, you know, going on a really kind of upward trajectory in terms of like, you know, the user base and the number of people using the platform. As we wrap up here, Frederick, it's been really interesting to hear your journey on how you guys came up with the concept, you know, how you kind of then built the platform between you and your co-founder, how that's now grown from you guys to now hiring for more staff and growing the team. Just as we wrap up, where do you see the biggest opportunities for growth over the next couple of years in blockchain?
Yeah, I actually think at this stage, I really think that the scaling issues are showing themselves to mm-hmm. be important, and it's something one that's been discussed for quite some time, obviously. But now, given the recent like surge in gas prices and just the frenzy we've seen on the DApp layer, I really think that building super good UX and fast scaling solutions, both as like the core layer, but also like sidechains and other ways of doing layer two solutions, is going to be incredibly important for this industry to succeed and really utilize the momentum that it now has.
I couldn't agree more, and I think it's a really good insight. So yeah, if Vitalik's listening, I doubt he is, but if he is,
I think he's on it.
Yeah, yeah, he needs to work quick and get this fixed so kind of everything can scale up as the industry gains more adoption. So yeah, I mean, on that note, I think it's nice to kind of wrap up. It's been really interesting to hear your story into what it's like building a platform just between two people, how that journey's come along to where you are now. For anyone interested in finding more information about the platform, do you want to tell our listeners where they can contact you, where they can just, again, if you can remind them of the website, and also, you know, if they're interested in, you know, getting in touch?
Yeah, so we have dunanalytics.com, where you can sign up, use the product. We're on Twitter, @dunanalytics. We also have a Telegram channel, which you will find from our Twitter or website. Where we're pretty active and responsive. So yeah, I think that should get you started pretty quickly.
Fantastic. Right, and all the links will be provided in the description, so you guys can just click below once the podcast is out. So again, thank you very much for coming on the show, Frederick. It's been really interesting, and hopefully we can get you back on in a few months' time to see how you guys have progressed.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me. It's been great talking.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Blockchain Enterprises podcast. We hope you can get inspired from Frederick's story and his advice. If you wish to get more information, you can check out the links in the description below. Finally, if you're interested in learning more about how to generate revenue streams in the crypto space, or if you're interested in becoming a sponsor of our podcast, then visit our website at www.blockchainenterprisespodcast.com.